Okay, thank you. So it's always nice to not to be the first speaker, because the previous speaker so always help you to help you a lot. So in this case, after six interesting presentations, I really don't need to justify how nanoparticles are important and why they are important. So I'll just directly come into the nanoparticles I'm interested in. Serum oxide nanoparticles. Serum oxide nanoparticles have been used in a variety of commercial and industrial products. And here are some examples there. But the most concerning use, though, is in is used as an additive in gasolines. Just imagine how widespread gasolines are used. And when they are used and disposed, serum oxide nanoparticles will get into the environment. Doesn't really matter where it starts, surface water or sewage. Eventually, they will find their way into the agricultural lands. When they're in agricultural lands, the next thing we're concerned about will they be accumulating in plant tissues, and will we be exposed to those nanoparticles when we consume those plants? So those are the concerns, general concerns, and not only for serum oxide nanoparticles, but for nanoparticles in general. So if you look at the Web of Science, so this was the data about 2 days ago when we put the slides together. So there are a lot of interests to look at how nanoparticles and plants interact with each other. And the interest is steadily growing. Now we have over 5,800 papers, most of them are peer-reviewed, papers dealing with how nanoparticles affect the plants. In different levels, at different levels, and for serum oxide nanoparticles, I found about 160 papers. So a lot of interest out there. So one thing in common for those publications is that if you look at their designs and experimental setup, most of the experiments are done in a lab with a very well-controlled environment. You introduce nanoparticles and to look at how plants respond to those nanoparticles, whether plants are accumulating nanoparticles or not. So those studies, no doubt, are very informative. But then if you think about those results, though, how representative those results are to the real plants. Because in the real world, plants are by no means growing in a very benign environment. They have to fight a lot of hard conditions, both abiotic and abiotic stresses, pathogen attacks, cold, drought, salt, and so on and so forth. So the question we came up with is that will those stresses affect the plant's response to nanoparticles? Will those stresses affect plant accumulation to nanoparticles? In the lab, plants probably the only enemy is the nanoparticles, and now they have to deal with the multiple enemies out there. And we looked at the literature, and the only paper we found is this one here. They exposed nanoparticles and boron at the same time to sunflowers, and what they found is that when you have boron, it seems that plants take up less serum oxide nanoparticles in both roots and shoots, but that's the only paper we found. So apparently one paper cannot be conclusive, so in the past 2 or 3 years, we have spent quite a bit of time to answer that question. If you have abiotic stress, and also at that condition you expose plants to nanoparticles, how plants respond to the nanoparticles, and will they accumulate to the similar extent of the nanoparticles as you see in the lab? So here are some of the results. So one thing we noticed is that if you have stress, salt stress tend to increase the nanoparticle, serum oxide nanoparticle uptake and accumulation in brassica. Here, for instance, these are the serum contents in brassica leaves exposed only to serum oxide nanoparticles. And on the right side here, they are exposed to the same concentrations of nanoparticles, but also some salt stress. And the pattern is clear that when you have salt stress, plants tend to take more of serum contents in both their roots and the leaves. So the results has been published a year ago. And then the next step was that why plants take more serum in the presence of substress. So we looked at different things, and one thing I feel interesting to share with you is that when you have both substress and serum oxide nanoparticles, it appears that they, the root barriers, which are typically formed when plants feel that there are some foreign materials trying to get in and they are trying to prevent them to get in, they will form those root barriers. And what we found is that when you have, so if you look at this one here, those are the root barriers plant roots form, and that's where exactly the serum nanoparticles are typically appear on the root tip. So plants seem to be trying to avoid the entrance of serum oxide nanoparticles. But when you have salt stress, that part of barriers is weakened, and the plants develop stronger barriers up there. And so that's a typical response to salt stress. It looks like plants are devoting more resources to fight against the salt stress, and they leave the chance for nanoparticles to get in. So that's one study, and again, that results has also been published this year. And then the next thing we looked at is how metal stress could affect the nanoparticle uptake. And again, this is one of the results we just published, is that if you have serum nanoparticles and cadmium increased, the serum content in both soybean roots and leaves. Once we found that, then the next question is why? Before that, one thing I forgot to mention is that the cadmium not only changed the kind of bulk distribution of serum in the roots and shoots, we looked at their implant distribution of serum in the presence of cadmium. And what you see is that if you look at the two columns of data I highlighted, the second one is the serum in different tissues, roots, first layer of leaves, second layer, and third layer, and so on and so forth. Compare that with the red column, and you notice that cadmium changed the distribution of serum, and mostly what it does is that it pulled the restrained the serum oxide nanoparticles towards the bottom tissues of the soybeans. So that's the observation, and again, the question is why. So in terms of why cadmium changes the serum oxide nanoparticle uptake and accumulation, the question is huge. Because we, not only us, a lot of people are trying to understand how nanoparticles in general and how serum nanoparticles in particular get into the plants, and we are not clear yet. But the one thing we seem to agree is that when serum oxide nanoparticles are exposed to plants, there will be some dissolution, mostly facilitated by the exudates from the roots, and both the nanoparticles, intact nanoparticles, and the ions could get into the roots, and So there are two pathways, and then once you get into the roots, and both of them could potentially transport up to the shoots. So why cadmium changed the serum uptake and accumulation? The one thing, the chemical aspect we looked at is that, and we found is that when you have cadmium and the serum oxide nanoparticles together, plants appear to release more exudates. And for those biologists, the plant exudates is because of a wide variety of chemicals. Generally, you can put them into two groups. One group is the low molecular organic acids. They do facilitate the dissolution, so therefore they help the ions. The ions are easier to get in the nanoparticles. Our evidence is shown by both the total organic carbon in the rhizosphere and also the lower pH in the presence. So that might be one of the reasons, and potentially the large molecules probably also help to retain the nanoparticles. So the smaller ones help the ions to transport, the bigger ones help to retain lots of polysaccharides, help retain the serum oxide nanoparticles on the root surface. So that's one of the reasons. And on the right corner, in addition to those chemical reactions, there are some of the physical interactions as well. But overall, serum changed the accumulation patterns of serum oxide and cadmium, changed the accumulation patterns of serum. So the next thing we looked at is how soil moisture content, as the professor said, the Utah is dry and many areas are getting drier because of the global climate change. And what we looked at is how the soil moisture content might affect serum oxide nanoparticle uptake. And we used two types of nanoparticles with different charges. And one thing we noticed is that, so those upticks are not significant, but the trend is kind of clear that when you have more soil moisture content, you see higher accumulation, and less moisture content, lower accumulation, and that trend holds true for both serum oxide nanoparticles. And again, our detailed information has been just accepted, will be available soon. But those are some of the results we have learned. So to conclude, so for the sake of time, I will have this relatively high-level conclusions that abiotic stresses does affect plant uptake and accumulation of coexisting serum oxide nanoparticles. That's probably true for other nanoparticles as well. The abiotic stresses could affect different aspects of plants. Could it be physiological changes? We looked a lot of the photosynthesis data, biochemically, root and anatomy changes, and probably at molecular level we haven't looked at. So these different levels could be affected by the coexisting stresses, therefore plants will respond to nanoparticles differently than what you see in the lab. Okay. So with that, I'll conclude my presentation, and with acknowledgement, thank you all, and all the students, former and present students in the lab, my collaborators, the funding agencies, and the principal conference organizers, especially Dr. He, for inviting me here. Okay. So thank you all. If time allows, I'll be happy to take any questions you have. Mostly root exposure. We expose them differently. Some of them are through kind of irrigation, through water irrigation. Others are mixed in, beforehand with the soil. Yes, please.
Can you tell us a little about your method for detection in the roots?
So most of those data are extracted with acid and measured with ICP-MS. So those are, but the roots I didn't distinguish. So we actually looked at the nanoparticles already attached to the roots. We looked at the nanoparticles actually get in the roots, and so forth. If you are interested, we can talk more. But this is all the kind of all the nanoparticles associated with the roots, including both get in and on the surface. Yes, please. Yes, indeed. Here, because my presentation focuses on the nanoparticles, we actually looked at both ways. And the publication, if you are interested to see the publications, we actually looked at both ways. The mutual effects, the nanoparticle effects, the heavy metals and heavy metals affect nanoparticles. I only present the part of the data here.